Thank you, very kind introduction. Some of it was accurate. What I want to speak about is something which will be hopefully very, very simple, very, very straightforward. I mean, actually, hopefully very profound. Actually, be very profound and very interesting, but it's difficult to do all those things. The only thing I disagreed about was to put off the cell phones. It's much better when you keep them on, because that way they ring throughout and people wake up. And especially if you time it properly, then it really works well. We're going to talk about somebody who, as far as I can tell, is the absolute most famous and most important Baal Tshuva who ever lived. Now, right away I have to qualify that, because for some bizarre reason, people will say that Rabbi Akiva is the most famous Baal Tshuva who ever lived. Yes? Yes or
yes.
No?
Yes.
Well, okay. As far as we know, and I'm quoting Rabbeinu Tam right now, Rabbeinu Tam said that Rabbi Akiva was not a Baal Tshuva. And part of the problem is the way that we use the term today. Anybody who was brought up with a little bit less of a Jewish education gets a little bit more of a Jewish education. I see Rabbi Grunberger here, who has helped many, many people go in that direction. Then they get labeled as a Baal Tshuva. A real authentic Baal Tshuva is somebody who had sinned. And somebody who sinned and then changes their way from their sins. Rabbeinu Tam says, this is a Tosfot which can be found in Ketuvot, he says that Rabbi Akiva was always a Shomer Torah u'mitzvot. He was always an observant Jew. He was an Am Haaretz. And he made a decision at some point to become an educated man. The person I want to speak about, who I think qualifies, is somebody named Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who's known more often as Resh Lakish. Those of you who've never studied Talmud, I can assure you that he's a very famous man. Those of you who've never studied Talmud, or missed a couple of pages, him and his friend slash adversary, Rabbi Yochanan, are found, if not on every page, on every other page. Not every other page, every third page. The entire Jerusalem Talmud, the Talmud Yerushalmi, is built upon the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish was an interesting man. He was a man who had a very, very interesting life. And we're going to learn a little bit about that life today, especially how it relates to tshuva. And that's for a very simple reason. Yom Kippur is in a couple of days. If we live someplace else, they would say like 6 shopping days left, but that's 6 eating days left. Okay. Johnny, can you help me with this? Let Johnny do it. He needs the mitzvah before Yom Kippur. And you should have hatzlacha. And you should, and you should have hatzlacha. I'll read and translate. This is a Gemara found in Baba Metzia on page 84a. And if you have any questions, you'll raise your hand. If you disagree with anything I say, you won't raise. No, you can also raise your hand. It's also okay. Yom Achad. You want to help me translate? Yom Achad. Once upon a time, which is the way that all stories should begin. Yom Achad, once upon a time, Hava Kasachi Rabbi Yochanan Biyardena. Rabbi Yochanan was going for a swim in the Jordan River. Now, we need to pause a second, because that's very interesting. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan was the Gadol Hador. I know today they give that award to men. He really was the Gadol Hador. He was probably the most famous rabbi in Israel at the time. He went for a swim, because that's what the words actually say. I've seen some who've tried to explain he was actually using the Jordan as a mikveh. Because why would a rabbi just go off for a swim? Chicolin Peru. But you can decide that for yourselves, why he was there. He was off in the river, and he had gone for a swim. Chazye Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish sees him. Or, in other words, he spies upon him, he sees him from afar. Now, a word about Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who we don't know this yet, was most likely at this point the most famous criminal in the land of Israel. And here's a man who had a real interesting life. From what we know, and again I'm using the same source, same Tosafot, same Rabbeinu Tam, says that Reish Lakish originally was a nice yeshiva boy, brought up in a nice family. What's the term they use today? He went off the derech. In a big way. He became a gladiator. He became a criminal. He robbed people. Gemara tells us of people that he killed. Here's a man who has done some damage. By the way, he's so famous that, as we'll see in a moment, Rav Yochanan recognizes him, even though he doesn't recognize Rav Yochanan. So if anything, the criminal is more famous. It could be his picture was up, you know, in the post office. The rabbis only get their pictures up in the falafel stores. So it's I guess there's more post offices around. Again, once upon a time, Rav Yochanan had gone for a swim in the Jordan River. Reish Lakish sees him. Ah, there's something else you need to know about Rabbi Yochanan. And this will be difficult for some of you to believe, although with Rabbi Sultanik here, maybe you'll believe it. Rabbi Yochanan was an extremely good-looking man. Most of you think good-looking and rabbis... You guys speak Hebrew? Hu yachatich. Okay, how do you say this in English? No. He was a good-looking man. The Gemara on the same page, Chatich, the Gemara on the same page tells us of the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan, which was legendary. It goes on to say that the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan was so amazing. Actually, then it goes into a side point, tells us about all these other good-looking rabbis. I know this part, who's laughing? Look at her laughing. Good-looking rabbi, she laughs. I wish my wife would have come. She would give it to you. And it says, no, there's a difference. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't on the list, because even though he was really good looking, Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a beard. He couldn't grow a beard. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was really good looking. By the way, he was also a very big man. He was a heavy man. There was actually a point in time that they considered somebody who was really big to be very attractive. I keep telling my students they just live in the wrong generation. And... okay, I won't go there now. So you're having fun, okay. Should I explain what's going on here? Reish Lakish sees Rabbi Yochanan in the water. He thinks it's a woman. He thinks it's a real good-looking woman. Now, what do men do when they see a really good-looking woman in the water? I'm sure none of you know, having never gone mixed swimming, so I didn't want to get a laugh on that one. But he thinks it's a woman, and it says that Reish Lakish goes diving in after Rav Yochanan because he thinks it's a good woman. Now, again, I don't want to sanitize this. I've already called him a robber, a thief, somebody who killed people. He most likely is jumping after this woman. I mean, one of two possibilities here, either to seduce her or to rape her. And I know that you don't like to hear, certainly not the latter. That's why he's jumping in. Again, Yom Achad, once upon a time, Havakasachi Rabbi Yochanan Mirdein, Rabbi Yochanan was swimming in the Jordan River. Chazi Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish saw him. Vishavali Yodena Arbatre, and he goes diving into the river after him. In hot pursuit. He catches up with him. Amrle, Rav Yochanan says two words, and I want you to remember these words, because these are the most important words I'm going to say all night. Chelech Leoraita. In English, that would mean you should use your strength Use your capabilities for Torah. Chelich li'oreita. You know, to be a chayal, somebody who's militant, somebody who's a soldier, a gibur chayal. Chelich li'oreita. Use your power, use your strength, use your cunning. Li'oreita for Torah. And you have to feel bad for Rav Yochanan. Sorry, for Reish Lakish. He thought he had found a good-looking woman, and instead he found a rabbi with a big mouth. And Reish Lakish expresses his profound disappointment, and he says, Omar le, shufrach lenashi, your looks would be far better suited for a woman. That's the opening conversation between these two men. Rav Yochanan then comes back and says something which may be a little surprising to some of you. Omar Leh, he says, and here we see that he knows, he knows exactly who he's talking to. You should use your strength for Torah. He knows it's Rav Reish Lakish, the notorious criminal. And now he says, Ihadart Bach, if you were to come back, do tshuva, change your life, repent. Yavinalach, achuti, Shafira Minai. I'll introduce you to my sister, who's better looking than me. By the way, I sanitized it. He says, I'll introduce you. He says, I'll give you my sister. Do tshuva. Kibel Ale. He accepts the deal. He tries to jump back now on the other side to get his clothing, to get his things, to get his kelim. He can't do it. He's been firm now for 30 seconds, been a yeshiva bacher for 30 seconds, and he's already a wimp. Akre, he learns Torah Sheba'al Peh. Va'atane, and he learns Torah. Sorry, he learns Torah Shibatav. Batanei, he learns Torah Shibal Peh. Vishav Yegav Rabba, and he becomes a great man. But by the way, I just read that line really quick. I have no idea how long that took. Here we're talking about a transformation of somebody who is a notorious criminal to becoming a great rabbi. And Reish Lakish indeed becomes a great rabbi. But it just told us in passing, he accepts it upon himself. At that point, he can no longer jump back. He studies Torah Shebichtav, he studies Torah Shebal Peh, and he indeed becomes a great man. Now the Gemara skips all the way through to the very end of his life. All those times that he and Rabbi Yochanan either agree or disagree or agree to disagree, all of that's not mentioned now, and the Gemara skips. And it tells us once upon a time, the following took place. Yom Achad, help me. See, you can be taught. Yom Achad, once upon a time, Havu Miflagi Beit Midrasha. There was an argument, there was a machloket, in the Beit Midrash. The discussion was, Hasayif Vasakin Vapigyon Varomach Umagal Yad Umagal Katsir Me'emotai Makablin Tuma. All of these are utensils which are made out of metal. It started off with a sword and with a knife, and other kinds of utensils made out of metal. At which point do they become susceptible to tum'ah, to ritual impurity? This is a law that, unfortunately, we have no need to know today, except for building your sukkah. You all know that you can't put as your schach something which is makabel tum'ah. You can put, for example, a plain piece of wood, but you can't put a ladder. Why can't you put a ladder? Because now that wood has become a utensil. Once something became a utensil, it's mekabel tumah. And that's what was taught in this teaching right now. If the metal, when it becomes a utensil, at that point it's mekabel tumah. So one little nail is mekabel tumah and could be a problem with the schach. Me'ematai mekablim tumah, when do they become susceptible to tumah? Mishat gemar melachtan, when they are completed, when they're made. Ume'ematai gemar melachtan, at which point are they considered to be made? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishitzirufan v'kivshan, when they get smelted in the oven, when they get melted down and made into form, and they're made in the oven, at that point they're considered to be complete. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish agrees with the principle, at the point that it's completed is the point it becomes susceptible to ma. But Reish Lakish says that's not how you make a knife. Mishitzach tzachan b'mayim, when you take it out of the oven, then you put it into cold water. And that seals in the strength of the knife. Now, who is right in this argument? Rabbi Yochanan is a great rabbi. Great rabbis spend a lot of time with lots of books. They spend a lot of time in the Beit Midrash. Reish Lakish has a little bit of a better idea as to how to make a good knife and a good sword. And why do you think he has a better idea how to do it? Because sometimes when you're going to go out to battle, having the sharper, stronger knife is the edge that you need, and that could be the difference between victory and defeat. Reish Lakish, who spent some time out of the Beit Midrash, knows how to make this, and Rav Yochanan knows it. Rav Yochanan knows that he's been bested. And all that Rav Yochanan has to say right now is, oh, that's how you do it? Okay, listen to him. I'm sorry, I back down. That's all he had to say, and our story would have ended very, very differently. Instead, he says something, and I can only say one thing before I tell you what he says. Have any of you, of course I know you all have, but you need to know that you have any of you ever said something, and after you said it, you said, I can't believe I said that. I wish I did not say that. I wish I could take that back. And there's sometimes we say hurtful things that we just can't take back. The hurtful thing that Rabbi Yochanan said ended up taking two lives, his own and Reish Lakish. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Lista'a belistayute yada. A robber knows his trade. And do any of you understand how that may have been somewhat hurtful after all of these years? When he left behind that life, he left behind that type of a philosophy. He's become a new person. He's become a rabbi. He married Rabbi Yochanan's sister. He became Rabbi Yochanan's best friend. He became Rabbi Yochanan's chavruta. Rabbi Yochanan tells us in the Talmud Yerushalmi that without Reish Lakish, it's like it creates the sound of clapping with one hand. That's what he says. With Reish Lakish, of course, he can clap. But without Reish Lakish, it's the sound of one hand trying to clap. And he loves Reish Lakish. But he says, a robber knows his trade. And Reish Lakish, for lack of any better term, melts down. He takes it so personally. He takes it so painfully. It hurts. And I'm sure there have been other people who've whispered things behind his back. I'm sure there are other people who've said things about Reish Lakish over the years. But he always knew that Reish Lakish, that Rav Yochanan believed in him. Rav Yochanan believed in him so much that he became his brother-in-law. He believed him so much. Again, his sister. He's his chavruta. He's his friend. And now Rabbi Yochanan says, a robber knows his trade. Reish Lakish responds and he says, Amar Lei, Umay Hanat Li, and what have I gained for making this change in my life? Hatam Rabu Kori Li, Hacha Rabu Kori Li. There they called me Master Rabbi, and now they call me Rabbi. Rashi explains, Rabu Kori Li, Rabban Shalistim, V'rosh Lem Hayiti. I was the head of the gang. I was the most important robber. So what's changed? They call me rabbi now, they call me rabbi then. And Rav Yochanan says, you know, what are you talking about? Hanailach, you've gained the akravinach tachet kanchfei ashchina. You've now have come close to God. What do you mean how have things changed? The whole world is different. Chalash daite Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan became depressed. By the way, he was never healed from this depression. He goes into a depression that, as far as I can tell, lasted for around a year. Never got better. Here it says, Cholosh Daite, which means his mind became depressed, got sick. Cholosh Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish became physically ill. In bed. Couldn't move. Was dying. Atay Achtei Kabachya. His sister, Resh Lakish's wife, comes running to Rabbi Yochanan. Amrulai, she says, Asay Bishvil Banai, do something for my children, that they won't become orphans. And Rabbi Yochanan is very stoic, and he says, Amrulai, Azva Yitomecha Vaniachaya. God is the one who takes care of the orphans. Asay Bishvil Amunatis, do it that I don't become a widow. Amrulai, and he grin quotes a verse saying that God takes care of the widows. Noch Nafshe, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Resh Lakish died. You want to know what he died from? He died of a broken heart. V'hava kometzara Rabbi Yochanan batrei. Rabbi Yochanan was so devastated after this. Tuva. Amru Rabbanan, the rabbi said, Man leze leitve ledaite. What can we do to cheer him up? Nezel will get Rabbi Lezer ben Padat, another rabbi named Lezer ben Padat, D'mechadid in Shvate, who was incredibly sharp in his tradition, sharp in his teachings. Azil, they go. Yativ Kamei, they bring him in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Komilta to have Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Every single word that Rabbi Yochanan would say, Amr Le, Rabbi Lezer ben Padat would say, Tanya d'Mesayelach, Rabbi, I can prove that you're right. Amar, he said, At kibar lakisha? You're the one who's like Resh Lakish. By Lakish Shiki Hava Mina Milta, Resh Lakish, when I would say something, Hava Makshili is from the Arba Kushyata. He would ask me 24 different questions. Ufariknale is from the Arba Peruka. And I would give him 24 different answers. Umimale Ravcha Shmata. And because of that, the Torah became that much greater because of his questions and the answers I was forced to give. At Amart Tani de Messiah? And you told me, Rabbi, I can prove that you're right? Atulayadana de Shapra Kamina? I don't know that what I said was right? Havaka Azovakaramane, he went tearing at his clothing, Vikabachi crying. For Amar, and he said, Hecha Adbar Lakisha, Hecha Adbar Lakisha, where are you, Resh Lakish? Where are you, Resh Lakish? He kept going on like this until he literally became insane. The rabbis prayed for mercy for him, and he died. By the way, I didn't tell you it was going to be a happy story. By the way, this is the same Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara in Brachot tells us, buried 10 children and was not depressed. Was able to pick himself up. It said he used to use his experience to go to other people who had suffered loss, and he would cheer them up. A man buried 10 sons, and that didn't destroy him, but losing Resh Lakish destroyed him. Now, you know the story. You've heard the story, right? You know it. I want to still explain it. I want to go back and I want to understand it from the perspective of Resh Lakish. There's certain elements over here which I went over quickly that need to be explained. Before I do that, I want to read one Gemara. Very short Gemara where Resh Lakish speaks. And Resh Lakish speaks about tshuva. And this, again, I want to introduce. I once heard Rabbi Soloveitchik say that, of course, about this, Rabbi Yochanan was a great rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan was incredibly smart. He was incredibly intuitive. He had great understanding. When it came to tshuva, he could not understand as well as Resh Lakish. You know, we don't want to reduce all of our rabbis' opinions to psychological, historical, economic considerations. On the other hand, Reish Lakish was an interesting man. And when he speaks about tshuva, we need to listen. Because he knew about it. Don't you love how quickly the Gemara just mentioned, oh, if you come back, yeah, he came back. That's it. He came back. Just like that. That's how it happens. Have any of you ever tried to change anything in your lives? It just happens like that. There's no inner turmoil. There's no fight. There's no second thoughts. And if he could just change just like that, I want to hear from him how he did that. Reish Lakish, in the Gemara in Yoma, talking about Yom Kippur, talking about tshuva, Reish Lakish says the following. I'm Reish Lakish. Gedola tshuva. Translate? Who's from California? No one. Okay, from California they would translate. Tshuva is awesome. Gedola tshuva. Okay, for the rest of you. Tshuva is great. Why is tshuva great? He says. Shezdonot na'asot lo kishkagot. That when you do tshuva, something that you did by accident becomes... Sorry. Something that you did on purpose becomes as if it's an accident. Shezdonot na'asot lo kishkagot. He quotes a verse, Shenema'a shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alokecha kikashalto babanecha ha'ovun meizudu v'kori le'michshol. The Gemara then asks, hold it, did he really say this? Amy, did he really say this? V'ha'amar Reish Lakish, didn't the same Reish Lakish say something else? Gedola tshuva, tshuva is so incredible, shezdonot na'asot lo kizuchuyot. That when you do tshuva, it turns the sin that was done on purpose into zchut, into merit, into a mitzvah. Again, it quotes a verse. The Gemara resolves and says, "Lo kasha." It's not a contradiction. Kan mi ahava, v'kan mi yira. There's two types of tshuva. One is from the fear of God. One is from the love of God. If you do tshuva based on the fear of God, it turns what you did into an accident. If you do tshuva based on love of God, it turns what you did into a positive thing, into a mitzvah. And it's not the mitzvah of tshuva. Because if it were the mitzvah of tshuva, then also if you did tshuva based on fear. I'm going to explain the dynamic of this, how this works, at least according to the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yakim Damo, once asked his teacher, the Chafetz Chaim, the following question. This is found in the Kol Vitz Ma'amarim, in the Ma'amar HaTshuva. I'm going to ask you all a question. Let's see if you can get the right answer. It's a scary answer. If I break down tshuva to one word, the one word I would use is regret. Do you like that word or no? You don't love it. It's okay, it's right anyway. When it really is broken down, tshuva is regret for what you've done. If I regret something bad that I've done, that's the core of tshuva. What happens if you regret something good that you've done? Does it also get wiped away? Well, you don't like that question. I'll ask you again. If you regret something good that you've done, does it get wiped away? Anyone? Yeah, it does.
I've done something good, but you could have done it better.
If you regret something good that you've done, and you say, I wish I didn't do that, it gets wiped away. Here's a lesson for you. Regret works. Charata works. If you regret the bad that you've done, you can wipe it out. Unfortunately, it works both ways. If you can regret the good that you've done, it also gets wiped out. Now, this was the question that Rav Chanan asked. The Ramchal of Moshe Chaim Lutzato said, reality is, if a person sinned, they should get punished. No wishful thinking can erase what you've done. You did something. If you killed somebody and you feel bad about it, are they still dead? Yes?
Whatever you do, good or bad, if it affects somebody else...
Correct. So therefore the Ramchal said, in terms of a historical analysis, tshuva doesn't erase anything. And therefore, the Ramchal said, it's only because of God's compassion, God's rachamim, that tshuva works. Guys, you know what rachamim is? You know what the root of the word is? Rechem, womb. Rachamim is the kind of love that a mother has for a child. That's very difficult to break. If it wouldn't be for God's rachamim for us, tshuva wouldn't work. So what did Rav Ochanan ask the Chafetz Chaim? The Gemara says, and the Rambam rules, that if I have charata, if I regret good things, it wipes it out also. How is that rachamim? And if that is law, if that's midat hadin, so then why should I say that? I mean, if charata gets rid of, if regret gets rid of the good that I've done, that's a rule, that's din. So why should it be that only compassion gets rid of the bad that I've done? Now, that question, we can have a whole other talk on it another time, on various answers to that question. The Chafetz Chaim gave an answer which Rav Ochanan didn't like, and none of us should like it either, because it didn't answer his question. But you know why we like it? Because it will answer our Gemara. Chafetz Chaim says, when a person does tshuva, they never regret what they've done. They did it on purpose. They enjoyed what they did. They regret that they're going to get caught and get punished. Which means if I were able to give you a guarantee right now that God has already written all of you in the book of life, and He has, you can take Yom Kippur off. Will you do it? Guarantee. Eliyahu Hanavi comes and says, guarantee. So what the Chafetz Chaim said is that people do tshuva for real because they're afraid of the punishment. If they knew no punishment was forthcoming, they wouldn't do tshuva. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said. The reason Rav Ochanan didn't like it, he says, that's good except for the times that people do tshuva because for a different reason. They really regret what they've done. But I want you to stay with this now. I want you to follow the Chafetz Chaim's logic. If the reason I do tshuva is out of fear, that's tshuva out of fear. If I'm afraid and I have regret, what did I regret? Did I regret the action or did I regret the punishment? I regretted the punishment. Action is still there. What kind of action do I not get punished for? Something done by accident. Therefore, tshuva done out of fear of being punished turns the action into an accident. That's what, based on what the Chafetz Chaim said, and that works wonderfully. You all got the dynamic? You didn't regret the action. Action's there. What did you regret? You rejected the punishment. Punishment's gone. Action, no punishment, equals accident. So tshuva, based on fear of God, turns into an accident. So that's one way of understanding the dynamic. What's our problem? Okay, if you do tshuva based on love of God, how did that turn it suddenly into something positive? And that's what I want to explain now. But first, I want to go back to our story. What were the two words that I asked you to remember from the very beginning, that Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, what were those two words? Use your strength for Torah. Chelech li'oraita. What is he saying to him? Take your capabilities and use them for a positive thing. Chelech li'oraita. How do I know that Reish Lakish was successful in that? Go back to the story. Why did he love Reish Lakish? Thank you. Why did he love Reish Lakish? What did he say about Reish Lakish? Remember when Reish Lakish is dead and they bring him another person to study with, Elazar ben Pedat? And what does Elazar ben Pedat do? He says, Rabbi, you're right. Rabbi, you're right. By the way, don't get me wrong on this. Rabbis love that. Rabbi, you're right. That was brilliant. We love that. We eat that up. That's great. But you know what's far more valuable than that? The student or congregant who fights with you and says, what in the world are you talking about? Who makes you work a little harder? Are you going to admit it? Who's going to make you work a little bit harder? You really need somebody in front of you to say, oh, Rabbi, that was great, and you're right. Thank you very much. I'm right. Rav Yochanan was incensed by Elazar ben Pedat. He was incensed by him. He goes, Rabbi, you're right. He goes, I know I'm right. I don't need you to tell me I'm right. He goes, you're like Reish Lakish. Now tell me again, why does he love Reish Lakish? Questions. More than that. Tell me what he does. Give me a better word. What else does he do?
Attacks.
He attacks him. Who is Reish Lakish? He's the outsider. He's the criminal. He's the one who attacks people. He attacks people along the road. He attacks the unsuspecting person. He attacks the girl in the water who turns out to be a rabbi. Reish Lakish is somebody who attacks. And what does Rav Yochanan say to him in the very beginning, the first two words? Chelech li'oraita. Use your attacking, use your ability, but use it for Torah. Come, bring it on. Attack me. But not in terms of physical strength, where Reish Lakish could have taken on anybody. Not as a gladiator. Not by showing what you know about knives. At least not in terms of the use of them. Bring it on, but bring it into the Beit Midrash. Come on, attack me. And that's what Reish Lakish does. Chelech li'oraita. He uses his ability to attack. And that's why he loves him. And that's the metaphor. That's the two hands clapping. They're opposing forces coming at one another, and they make a beautiful sound. Because you're like Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish would ask me 24 questions. I had to give him 24 answers. And the Torah became that much greater than it would have been without Reish Lakish. And that's the greatness of Rav Yochanan, is that he wants this person to come, attack me. Ask questions. Make me uncomfortable. Take me out of my comfort zone. Make me work harder. Don't just sit there and tell me I'm right. So what we see is that he agrees. Now, you know what I find fascinating in this story? Rabbi Lazar, listen to this. You know what I find fascinating in the story? In the very, very beginning, if we chart it, use your strength for Torah. Your looks will be better for a woman. I'll introduce you to my sister better looking than me. That sounds good. He accepts it upon himself. He tries to jump to the other side. He can no longer do it. Reish Lakish can no longer jump. He has rejected his capabilities. Oh, the guy who used to jump, the guy who used to attack, the guy who used to do all, that's somebody else, that's not me. One of the tragic things that happens occasionally with people who work with Baalei Tshuva is to tell them that everything you've done till now is worthless. Instead of telling them that everything you've done till now can bring so much more into the discussion. Reish Lakish initially feels as if that person was somebody else. And by the way, it's interesting, that's before he learned anything. The first stage we see in his becoming a Baal Tshuva is a rejection of his capabilities. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan told him. By the way, I found another passage in the Yerushalmi where Rabbi Yochanan talks about Tshuva. And he says, I'll read you the passage because maybe you'll find this interesting. This is in Masechet Peah, Perek Aleph. Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, if somebody is a complete tzaddik, harei shaya adam tzaddik gomer kol yomu v'achor demarad, and somebody at the very end of being a good life rejects all of his good, what happens? It all gets wiped out. That's what I told you before. Rav Shimon ben Lakish amar b'tor ha'arishonot. That's a person who rejected the good that he's done. Reish Lakish is the one who tells us, if you reject the good that you've done, gone. You reject the bad that you got, also gone. And then Rav Yochanan says, Rav Yochanan, lo od, not only that, if you do tshuva, it's great. Elo kol ha'averot sha'asa hinechshevim lo kizchiyot. All sins that you've done become positive things. You know what's interesting? Reish Lakish's understanding of tshuva is far more nuanced. Done by fear, done by love, different approaches, different types. Rabbi Yochanan says, a guy who does tshuva. Rabbi Yochanan, tshuva is a different process. You do tshuva, okay, now it'll become a positive, because that's what he sees. Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, use your strength for Torah. And Reish Lakish, there's lots of stages over here. First stage, rejecting who he was. He eventually comes to use who he was. I have a feeling that when you reject who you are, and you reject part of your capabilities, that's also a tshuva which is out of fear, not out of love. Because tshuva out of love of God is saying, what I've done is a part of me, and I need to elevate it. I need to take those sparks The sparks of holiness within the negativity. Is that a strange and difficult statement? The sparks of holiness within the negative. I need to find those sparks and lift them up. I'm going to tell you one more story and we're going to stop. You look tired already. I'll keep them going. You good? You good?
Tired.
You're not tired?
No.
Okay. I have to work harder then. I'm going to tell you one more. I'm going to tell you one more story. Years and years ago, when I first thought of this, when I first learned through this, and Johnny told me he was in my class in Bar Ilan. I taught this years ago, and it was different. I didn't say it exactly like this, did I? No, it was not like this. There were a couple things I fixed. And made up the end. I would imagine how Reish Lakish used to use the capabilities. And the truth is, I don't have to make it up so much, because you saw yourself how he used those capabilities. He attacked Rabbi Yochanan. And then I found a passage in the Jerusalem Talmud of the Rishonim, in a tractate called Trumot, in the 8th chapter. And it tells us an unbelievable story, which I think will shed so much light on Reish Lakish. And by the way, anybody here into movie making? Because we're definitely waiting to make a movie on Reish Lakish's life. And this is going to be, aside from the water scene, which I don't know how you're going to film that and who's going to play Rabbi Yochanan, but listen to this story. Rabbi Isi Itzayed B'Safsufa. There was a rabbi named Rabbi Isi who was in the same group with Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. He was kidnapped by a real bad gang of people known as the Afsufa. The Hezbollah, Hamas, rolled into one. The Safsufa. Rabbi Yochanan gets a report that Rabbi Isi was kidnapped. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yichroch Hamet Bisadino. Rabbi Yochanan says, start getting the shrouds ready for the funeral. He's not getting out. He's dead. Nothing we can do. They got him. These people are bloodthirsty murderers. We're not getting him out. Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, you have to love this. Ad da'ana katil, the anamit katel. Either I'll kill them or they're going to have to kill me. Or in other words, what does he say? Over my dead body. Now anybody, do I have to explain to you why Reish Lakish looked at the situation a little differently than Rabbi Yochanan did? Rabbi Yochanan said, these are bad guys. They can't do anything. And what did Reish Lakish say? I'm the baddest guy. If you're all of a certain age, you can all see Clint Eastwood right now, like I do. Can you imagine Reish Lakish at this point? Years and years ago, he buried away his knives, his swords, his rifles, or whatever it was, and he put them under the floor in this old bag, and he swore he would never use it again. And now he goes and he opens up that little balata underneath. I know some of you still have dollars there. And Rand. And he opens it up. I hope not Rand, by the way. He opens it up and he takes out these weapons. And the Gemara continues. I will go and get him out with my strength. By the way, this is an important political statement, which of course, as I said in the beginning, I'm not going to get involved in politics. Ozal, he goes, Ufaisun, and he negotiates his release, which just goes to show that when you go out of a point of strength, you're able to be successful. Viahavunale, and he brings him back home. I'm going to ask you, what happened that night? Rabbi Isi is back home. First thing they do is they make a huge party. And he says, Birchat Hagomel. And maybe even he says a hallel. There's a hallel that you can say. There's an idea called a Purim Katan. Person who has celebrates going from, literally from life to death. And they sing and they dance and they drink and they say L'chaim and they really mean it. And everybody goes home. And there's only one man left in the Beit Midrash. And he's sitting there, and there's a candle flickering, and he's thinking. And it's Reish Lakish sitting all by himself. And what does he now know? He knows that he never killed, attacked, robbed anyone, Reb Isi would be dead. And he now understands what it's like to have tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of real love of God. Because when he was younger, he used to attack people for his own personal gain. He used to dominate people because he would take away their money. And now Reish Lakish got involved in the situation that he could have been killed simply because it was the right thing to do. And now he came to another understanding. He came to an understanding that the only reason he was able to save this life was because of all of the bad things he had done over the years. And I would imagine that in this situation, Reish Lakish is now able to say, so great is tshuva, that when you do it out of love of God, it turns your sins into mitzvot. Because think of it. All the negative that he had done became the foundation, literally, the foundation for his ability to now do positive. That's tshuva me'ahava. Tshuva me'ahava is when we go back and we look at our capabilities and we say, we did these things when we sinned, and we use certain capabilities. There's certain parts of us, emotionally, physically, psychologically, that we used in order to sin. Now let me take it, use it, channel it in terms of serving God. And at that point, all the negative that you've done becomes positive, because in retrospect, all the negative that you've done is simply the foundation for the person that you are now. And God accepts that, and God accepted Reish Lakish. But what happened? He was devastated when Rabbi Yochanan took him all the way back. He was devastated that Rabbi Yochanan could look at him and say, but you're just a robber. He's not just a robber. He's somebody else. And I'm going to say one more thing. Rabbi Yochanan didn't mean it in a negative way. Rabbi Yochanan meant it in a positive way. Rabbi Yochanan, who said to him, Chelech Leolaita, use your capability for Torah. And now when he says a robber knows his trade, he's saying, look, it's great. Reish Lakish is using his knowledge that he used to have before to teach us Torah. Rabbi Yochanan didn't mean it as an insult. He didn't mean it as a joke. He meant that it's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan has been saying. Rabbi Yochanan was devastated when he realized that Reish Lakish took it in such a negative way. And that killed him. It killed two people. Which means a person could be a great, great Baal Tshuva, and they can still be sensitive. You could be the toughest guy around, like Reish Lakish, and he can still be sensitive. And what we need to take out of this is a couple of different conclusions. One is we need to be far more sensitive of other people's feelings. Two, we need to look at our capabilities and not reject them. We need to use them. And sometimes we need to reject them for a short period of time to come back to them later, to be able to use them with more strength later on. We need to look at the negative that we've done and to use it in every single possible way, as I said, physically, emotionally, psychologically, to use what we've done in a negative way and now to use it in a positive way. And at that point, all the negative becomes, in retrospect, part of the positive. The last thing we need to do is to finally, we need to make a movie about this, because this is far better than almost any movie that you've ever seen. I want to wish all, first I want to thank Rabbi Sotenik for inviting me, for letting me come and speak over here. Thank you. I want to wish all of you a Gmar Chatima Tova. All of you should be sealed in the Book of Life. Have a great year, a year with incredible amount of productivity. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll see each other by happy occasions. Thank you.